Hello, Voltron fans. We are back. We are the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. We are looking at Season 4, Episodes 1 and 2. We have three very special guests in the studio tonight, so it's going to be wild, and I cannot wait. Team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I am so excited to be back, you guys. I'm so thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled to have this show back. I'm thrilled to be talking about giant robots in pretty much any flavor. And I'm thrilled that we're all matching tonight. And that is thanks to Arsenic and Cyanide and Alexis, who enabled the lot. Thank you so much, my dears. We have a lot to talk about, so let's get right into the start of this. I have with me tonight, Red Lion, Emma Fife.
Hi, guys. What's up? You can follow me at my name if you don't do that already. It's probably in a lower third. I don't know. It's Emma Fife. I keep it simple.
Blue Lion, Alexis Torres.
Hey, you guys can find me all over social media at atorres890.
Green Lion, Megan Salinas.
Hey, guys. You can tweet at me at the Menguin. It's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
And I'm Black Lion, Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias at Kiaxe. That is K-I-A-X-E. We have the hashtag ABTV Voltron. We've got the live chat. So if you have something fun to say to our wonderful guests, you can throw those in there. Speaking of our wonderful guests, thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. We have Lauren Montgomery, the showrunner.
Woo! Yay!
Where can people find you?
Oh, at @ArtofLaurenM on Twitter. I'm also the best Lauren Montgomery on Instagram because apparently my name is taken everywhere.
But now we know you're the best.
Who knew it was such a popular name?
It is. I think there's like some volleyball team that I get Google alerts.
Totally.
A volleyball team.
Yeah.
Doing really well. Shada, the voice of Lance.
What's up?
Blue Lion Go.
Oh yeah. Sharpshooter. Chilling.
Where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me at Jeremy Shada on Twitter and at Jeremy Shada on Instagram. Keep it simple.
See, I like you, Jeremy.
Yeah, exactly. I had to fight to get that name, though, because other people were stealing it.
Trying to pretend to be.
I had to hit up the Instas, and I was like, nah, that's mine. That's me.
You got to get that blue check.
Yeah, you can.
Executive producer Joaquin.
Yeah, I still don't have the Instagram blue check mark. I have it on Twitter. Not on Insta, though. I don't know. I don't know what's up with that.
You're not verified?
Not on Instagram. I am on Twitter. But.
All right. No. We'll have verify. Executive producer Joaquin.
Come on, Insta. Verify me.
For a second time. All right.
Off to a great start, guys.
It's good. Yeah, I completely forgot to introduce the show after the opening. Hi. AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show.
I don't know.
Season 4, episodes 1 and 2, Code of Honor and Reunion.
Yeah, I don't know if you could tell that this was a Voltron After Show or not.
No, we're actually covering the Power Rangers, actually.
No. Episode 4, you guys.
Sorry.
It's also on every single screen behind
us. It's literally on every screen behind us.
And we're all wearing shirts that say Paladin and shirts with lions.
I can't see a single thing in the studio to indicate what show this is.
No, of course.
No,
not
a thing.
What are we doing here?
You need to announce it 5 times.
It's like My Favorite Murder. We just have to announce it 3 different times or no one will ever get it.
I thought we were talking about The Real Housewives. No, I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys. We're in the wrong studio. Let's get into this. I have to say, I know a few people who were very happy to see Keith straight up working with the Blade of Marmora.
Yeah. I mean, I'm down for whatever Keith wants to do with his life.
One person was really happy about it.
Yeah.
Space ninjas.
Space ninjas. Yeah.
I was happy about it. It's super cool.
I think Lance might be happy about it, too.
Yeah. Lance is like, finally, I just get my opportunity to shine.
I get my moment.
I get the pool to myself.
One of the things I really like about this this first episode is that it would have been so easy to play up the drama of this episode in a needlessly melodramatic way. But that's not the route that you guys took. You played it.
That's what we were trying for. Did we fail?
We didn't get full melodrama?
I mean, with the Dutch angle and those angry expressions. Like, no, that was when it was like, oh, things are going to go down now.
Uh-oh.
That's a Dutch angle.
Looking back over the shoulder.
But it would have been, I feel like so many other shows would have just gone the route of everybody's just mad at Keith for no reason, or like he doesn't adequately explain things, and like, but this is a show where they've been together for so long that like they've gotten to the point where they can communicate what's going on, and be okay and accepting of it and not force someone to do something they don't want to do. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like in the times that Keith was absent when he was supposed to be piloting the Black Lion, obviously everyone was like a little mad at him.
Sure.
Good reasons. Yeah. That, like, they can't form Voltron without the Black Lion. Sure. But overall, there was this, like, man, you're kind of letting us down, but we also kind of get why you're doing what you're doing. Yeah, so I appreciated that.
It was very true to everyone's character.
Sure, sure.
It was, no, I don't understand why you don't put us first. It was, look, we get it. It's important what they're doing, but we as a team cannot survive without our leader. Like, they can survive without you. We really super can't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting, and this, I think, is something that I want to throw to you guys, that, you know, last sort of season in terms of Netflix dropping episodes was so much about trying to build up Keith's confidence as a leader. And now we immediately see him basically getting to step out of that role. So what was sort of the decision, I guess, behind that?
I mean, I think he's always been reluctant to be in that position. Yeah. So I think it's part of his makeup. It's part of his character. Mm-hmm. And I also think, you know, just to go back to the previous point, you know, Pidge tried pulling something very similar early on.
Mm-hmm.
And Keith was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So I think this is also a nice turn. It shows their growth as a team. It shows their sort of understanding of each other's, you know, sort of personal needs.
And it's also a situation where you've got kind of like one paladin too many.
Yeah.
You're like, we only need five to form Voltron.
Yeah.
And had Shiro stayed gone, Keith would have absolutely like been there and
of
been that leader.
Have.
But he sees Shiro's back, and I think he feels like he can't fill those shoes. And so it almost makes him, like, want to pull back more. And he's trying to almost, like, force Shiro to retake that position.
Yeah.
Because he just, like, he never feels like he can adequately, like, take his place.
It's given him an out. He had to step it up last season. And now that Shiro's back, he's like, oh, good. I can do my lone wolf thing.
Never mind that it's not really working that way right now.
But they basically talked it out. You know what I mean? Which is cool. They kind of laid it out on the table, so there wasn't that thing where he just sort of went off on his own and was like, where did he go?
Oh, yeah.
They had it out.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that we had that much time, because we did have a nice little time skip in the middle of this episode where we saw the base kind of growing on Olcarion. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed it took that much time to have a Venn diagram overlap between we really super need you here and you're not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's how it goes.
That's true.
Man, those Blade of Momora guys just kind of drop like flies, though.
I know! Well, they have no sense of self-preservation. And I get it.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. They really have no regard for their own lives at all.
It's all about the mission.
Yeah, it's all about the greater good.
Yep. Yeah. That's their thing. They will always put the mission first. I feel like they feel probably the most responsibility of everyone, being that it's like, it's their own culture that's done this. And they, you know, they're like, they want to prove to everyone that we're not all bad and we're willing to go the farthest distance to right our wrongs, sort of thing.
And I assume that most of these guys, at least the people who are in Blades of Momora, they've been doing this for a long time. So they understand that this is what
it's happens. Part of the deal.
Yeah. So.
Got to sign that contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feel like
they have
covered in
the
like
waiver.
Orientation.
All right, guys, here's your contract. You might die.
Yeah, we're not liable if you do.
Yeah. And just a full disclosure, this is the average lifespan of any human Blade of Momora.
Pretty much.
If you make it through 5 years, like, you're an elder.
Do you get health care for that? I don't know.
There's no life insurance policy.
There you go.
I have to wonder how many lives have been needlessly thrown away in this organization by, I could take 3 seconds, go get this person, and still be fine, or, nope, Pirates Code, they knew the rules. Whoever falls behind gets left behind.
Yeah.
Nobody gets to cash in their 401k.
I mean, probably a lot.
Probably a lot.
Probably a whole lot.
Probably a lot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't probably say not. Needlessly. I would say it's all to sort of serve the bigger picture.
Right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
True, but people who could have been saved and weren't.
Well, you can't say that. I mean, because we see it here.
He took the time to try to disarm it.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, he was Regress was trying to disarm the bomb, and had he just evacuated with everybody else, he probably would have lived.
Yeah.
But he had to take that chance.
Regress was already living on
But 2 seconds
time.
Longer, he probably could have saved them. It just didn't work out his way.
Yeah.
He took that like 5 times.
Risk.
It worked out.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like, with all the close calls they get, like, this is probably just like, give me 2 more seconds and I'll get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the last 10 times. I'll totally get it this time.
You can see it from both sides.
Does Josh Keaton do his voice?
He does.
I think Josh Keaton
does
his voice, yeah.
Of course, just, like, he did. Half the extra voices are Neil and the other half are Josh.
Yeah, and if it's a lady, it's usually Cree or Kimberly. Yeah.
Any number of Jeremy them. Does a mean Koran, though. Whenever we need, like...
I need to hear this. If you don't mind.
I'm not going to spoil, but yeah.
Okay.
It's,
we got a lot of scratch with Jeremy doing it.
So when's the blooper reel coming out?
We got a ton.
I'm sure we do.
We have one really amazing Reese blooper where he cussed us out because he was not happy. He was going through this line and it wasn't even like the hardest line, but I think he kind of psyched himself out a little bit with it. And he was going through it and every time I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, and then at the end it was just like, F you guys. And it was incredible. I sent it out to the crew to listen to.
We might have talked about it last time, but he has this amazing way when he bails on a line where he's like, oh.
Yeah.
He just gets sad. Yeah. That's the greatest.
He deflates. He deflates. It's so funny.
I need this in my life.
I just want my little text tone. Then,
I feel bad, like, laughing kind of in the booth, but the way he deflates makes it that much more funny.
It does. It adds
it
to
really
this.
Is.
It funny, yeah.
It's hilarious.
And usually he's doing just fine. And then he just bails and Andrea's like, you were doing fine.
You're doing great. He also gets like the hardest, most like technical word.
He does. Well, and it's not real science.
No,
most
it's
of the
all
time.
Fake.
It's all gibberish.
All
the
Altaian
words.
Half the time we'll say like, you can kind of just say whatever you want because none of this makes any sense anyways. But the words are on the paper, so he's trying to follow along.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough for anybody.
Oh,
poor
my gosh.
Guy.
I love the meta joke. Oh, wait. That's later this season. I guess we have to wait till later.
We'll
get to that
up,
later.
I keep forgetting parts of my introduction. I'm just so excited to be here.
I wrote it in
We're
the chat.
You wrote it in the chat.
I did.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For now, we are keeping it spoiler-free beyond episodes 1 and 2. In about 20 minutes, give or take, we are going to swap it over to a discussion of the entire season because we have these lovely human beings in studio and we'd like to be able to talk about the entire season.
Yes.
But for now, that will have a spoiler warning before it for now.
Yeah.
In the chat, in the comments, keep it spoiler free, guys. There are people who have enough self-control to watch along with the after show.
Cool.
Wow. That's all to you.
I don't.
No, we're like,
well,
our policy
is to watch the whole thing and talk about it.
I'm just happy that I was without like connection to my Wi-Fi for most of the weekend because I didn't get to watch until Sunday.
Let me be completely honest with you. I was at work at Halloween Horror Nights on Thursday night, and I had a really late shift. I was working for publicity, and I was like sitting in the office at VIP after I finished with my group, and I was like, guys, it's 11:30. In half an hour, the new season of
And what reception did you receive? Crickets?
People were like, what?
It's all good.
I came home from a week-long...
project at work.
Yeah, completely wrecked me and was like, all right, it's up.
Cut to me watching the first 2 episodes literally that Thursday night when I got home. So I'm in my bed watching episode 2, like, no joke, full on sobbing.
Oh.
Tears and sobs. Like, it's not pretty.
Let's segue to that and then we
can
come back.
See, I was lucky. I was homesick, so I was like,
and turn it
off. All of it.
I got spoiled for episode 2.
I can't believe
it. By Netflix.
What?
Because of the thumbnail.
Because
we Chromecast it, and while it runs through the credits, it has the thumbnail for the next episode. And the thumbnail was Matt and Pidge embracing, and I'm just like,
It's tough.
So she watched it later, and I was like, don't look at any of the thumbnails.
So
don't.
I literally covered my eyes as soon as the credits started rolling.
While I reached over to her computer and hit next episode. So you walked into it unspoiled, and I walked into it going, this is a great emotional moment, but I know it's not real.
So
Netflix.
Should we talk about, like,
yes, why not? That's where we are.
Listen,
that's what
I was
doing.
100% convinced that it was real. You have no idea. How much I bought that, so kudos.
Well, that's
to you
great.
Yeah.
That was the intention. Yeah.
And it was
actually Joaquin's idea, the whole fake out at the grave.
Yeah.
It was a really awesome, dramatic moment. But it was beautiful.
I know Bex's performance.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, seriously, like I didn't like know any of that. Because like when we're recording and stuff, like sometimes like that episode I don't even know if I don't even know if I'm in that episode.
You had one line about Fluto beans.
Which we just recorded later, basically. Right. Yeah. So I was watching that not knowing any of it, and it's oh, it's such a good episode. Oh, my gosh. That scene, like, and I know that, like, he comes back, obviously, but I was like, maybe he does it? I mean, he's recorded on this show, like, a lot, but I don't think they...
Maybe it's all flashbacks.
I was like, what?
I mean, we were affected by her performance when she did it in the booth. We were like...
I mean, I still cry when I watch the episode. Yeah. And I knew from day one that I was like, Matt's going to be back, and he's going to be a rebel, and he's going to be an action star. Right. And like,
Matt
and
is definitely one of my new favorite characters.
Oh, yeah. Their dynamic is just
it's funny because
he's just kind of Will Smithing it.
Lauren, like, he is a rebel and an action star, but like at the heart of it, like, he is a huge dork.
Absolutely.
That's the greatest thing.
Because he's still the Matt that she knows, but he had to, like, evolve. But he didn't leave himself behind or lose himself at all. He's a huge dork that was literally the only person that Pidge could relate to, because she was way too smart to relate to anyone in her class. She was smarter than her own teacher. Mm-hmm. And she had no one except this guy that went off into space and... kind of left her behind, not intentionally.
I mean, speaking of dork, I mean, can we talk about the meeting of Allura and...
that's next episode.
Okay, fine.
In
like 10 minutes.
You gotta wait.
Not to jump ahead, but it, going full... and whenever this show chooses to go full anime, it's always a delight.
Oh, it makes me so happy.
Yeah. And that was all Steve on. Yeah. Like, he...
bless him.
You know, responsible for the Kaltenecker moment we can't talk about. And like, the ridiculous golden boy Matt that we can't talk about.
And you know, he did a bunch of those boards for Pidge.
And
the music,
it was beautiful.
Yes, the music especially. I mean, the music in the whole show is great, but like, amazing. In that moment too, I was like, oh, it's so good. It's so epic. Yeah. No, seriously, guys.
Even the
I loved it.
The rendering of the rain when we were getting that footage back, and it was like going through the light. You could see the light.
And I mean, in that transition from her like looking at sort of the monument that was a memento to all of these rebels who had died.
Into the 187,000.
No, 127,000.
It's so dark, but it's great. Crazy. Oh, my gosh.
Many.
Even down to like the voice, like, I don't know, like the robot voice that plays in the recording.
You know who that was?
Who was that?
Andrea Romano.
That's right.
Yeah. We super roboted her up, but you know, Andrea, there's a kind of a tradition of her doing like the computer voices, and she was always the Batmobile on all the Warner Brothers stuff.
That's so
and
funny.
So she's done like the castle ship, and then she did like the little helmet translation.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, that's so great.
I didn't know that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's super funny. But yeah, no, it has that kind of just unsettling like tone. Oh, it's just also it's so good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a monotone.
Well, I think one of my favorite things about that entire sequence is that it goes on just long enough. It's one of those things where like the pacing of it, it's not too fast. It allows the weight of what she's going through to really sink in.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah. And it was perfectly paced.
Because for me, I was having that moment. I mean, I know that a lot of people don't like Disney sequels, but Mulan 2, when you get to that,
Shang.
If you've seen it, when you think that Shang is dead, spoiler, sorry.
Oh my god!
It's the only good thing about that.
Come on!
Wow.
The best thing about that is the weird frame by frame animation that you can pull sometimes.
Yeah, but I love it because she runs onto the battlefield and she's on the same kind of hilltop and she sees all like the battle happening and it was just, it gave me that same, like, I stopped breathing for a second.
Not gonna lie, I got like straight up in terms of like the emotional weight of it. I felt like I was watching a Don Bluth movie.
Yeah,
like I felt like it was just a continual punch to the heart.
Especially when Bex is screaming, I was like, I can't right now. Like, I really just.
And I think that even just the episode and a half before that moment did a really good job in setting it up because we have all of the stuff for the Blade of Marmorba and life is cheap and people die. And then we have, I wrote her name down. Tiosh.
Yeah.
And he might not have it anymore, but here's his frequency. Like, there's a reason he might not have it anymore.
Yeah.
So we very much set up that no one is safe. And then we hit this and we're like, okay. We very much established that this was very much a possibility.
Yeah.
As I said,
and then we run smack into it.
I 100% bought it.
I 100% thought I did.
I would have bought it without that spoiler.
No, like,
I would have.
Yeah, if I didn't see it, it was actually my husband who ruined it for me. Because he was like, honey, the numbers. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, never mind, I'm just going to let you do that.
Wow.
I didn't even think about that. I was like, what are you talking about?
That is,
like,
assuming it is Matt and not a clone.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Gone deep.
Stop it.
But on a
everybody on the show is a clone.
Well, you know, they all died in episode one.
Yeah, right. Some of them are probably on two or three clones by now. Yeah. Realistically, they've all had to have died like five times.
Ladder scenario. Yeah.
There's a small child looking into a Voltron snow globe. It's me.
Shaking the.
on a side note, Tiosh was actually voiced by Lacey, who did Naima's voice, but she has like a much higher voice.
Yeah,
and so what we ended up doing is we pitched her down because she has like a naturally high voice. It sounded freaking awesome.
Yeah,
it
sounded really
a lot
cool.
Of times when you pitch people down, it starts to sound kind of drunk and like brr. I was like, oh my god, she has an amazing deep voice. Yeah. This is lovely.
Yeah. Well, that's and awesome. not to jump ahead to a little later on down the line, but I just as a whole, I love how many women are in this season.
Yes, I was just about to say that. Thank you.
I mean, it started last season. Really.
It started last season, but
the
lady
showed up to play. And yeah. More showed up this season.
This season has been like all, what do we have, 13 episodes total? 3 and 4.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Because we all know what that divvied up in the middle.
Yes.
That's not a secret.
But yeah, other shows, I feel like all these side characters would typically default male. So I just like seeing a little variety. It's always nice.
Hyper-competent women.
Awesome.
I also wrote down Lieutenant Ozar.
Yeah. An auspicious occasion.
Yeah, man.
He was immediately glorious.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Which is he? Is
the sea captain Beard.
He's the one that met up with Paige when she first landed.
Oh, John DiMaggio. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
He does like three voices.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
He does everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, I was
he's
gonna
also
say John
Hunter.
John DiMaggio.
He's like three voices in
a lot of voices this season, right?
Yeah.
And that's another episode that I wasn't there on the record, so I didn't actually cross paths with him during that, which is funny.
But when you were listening, were you like...
I was like,
that's it.
John? That's it. John? John! He's everywhere.
It's so funny.
I mean, that's what I do with Travis Willing.
Yeah. Jeremy, it's not like you grew up like recording in a booth with him.
No, it's not like I recorded him every Tuesday for like
that's
8 years.
Design or background and prop supervisor Christine Bion is a huge Futurama fan. So she came to that record and she was like jumping up and down, and he, so you know, he's super nice, signs her stuff, like says goodbye, walks out the door, and she yells like, Bender, we love you, and you hear down the hall, shut up baby, I know it.
Yeah!
Oh my god, it was incredible.
I would give my left Voltron leg to hear that. So fast.
What an awesome guy. That's
I know.
So cool.
He's super awesome rad. And like just so good with his fans. Just an amazing dude. And really versatile. Just crazy versatile.
Oh, yeah. No, God, his IMDb page is just like, how long
are these
people?
Doesn't end.
Page down, oh God, it's still going. Yeah, so I love the solo mission. I love just watching Pidge go through all these steps. And just the moment with the black market arms dealer.
Yeah.
Talking with him. And just that, really, all I wanted was the information.
Was that also John?
That was also John. That was the third one.
Everything.
Yeah. That was the third one.
There was the conversation with John DiMaggio, but there was also the conversation with John DiMaggio.
Yeah, exactly. He was literally talking to himself at some point.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't there a conversation where he's talking to himself?
Yeah, that
happens. The bounty hunter and the black market.
Yeah,
right?
There you go. But for this episode for me really drove home how much Pidge has grown, especially the line at the end, like, I can't believe I have to go through middle school without you, and I went... Oh my
crazy?
God, I keep forgetting. She's tiny.
Yeah.
She's a youngin. Like,
she's
a
little
girl.
But
this went from her first solo battle in season one was a pickup game, a lot of running and hiding and praying. And this one is just like, really? We're doing violence? Oh my God, fine.
I know, that's the greatest turn. And when she just totally gets like, she gets up on him by like kicking the table out from under him.
Yeah.
Like, she had the whole thing mapped out ahead of time.
Yeah.
We could do this the easy way or the fun way.
Yeah.
You had to do it the hard way.
Yeah. That bounty hunter fight though at the end.
Oh my god.
You get to see the two of them team up.
It was darling. It was nice. Super darling. And we got to give credit to both Mitch Iverson, who wrote it.
That's right.
And Chong Il are one of, like, our blessings from Korea, Studio Mir. Mm. He did the whole main title, like, that beautiful main title. And he did, like, so many amazing storyboards for us, including the fight and, like, the lovely flashback ending with Pigeon Matt. Right.
Oh, and he really came up with the move that Matt pulls off there where he sort of slides under.
Like, yes!
When we saw that, we were like,
oh my God,
how did you do this?
Like, he figured it out because, like, it was like there was stuff in the script and we were like, I don't know, do something cool. And then he just did something cool.
Yeah, something really awesome.
Awesome action here.
That's right.
Yeah, that's usually the direction. Yeah,
exactly.
Insert cool ninja move.
Well, and it also shows us how much Matt has changed, because we've seen very little of him. We got bits in season one, and that's about it. And now we have this. It's like, couple years in space, we'll do this.
I feel like it was such a good payoff, finally meeting Matt at this point in the present, because up to this point, it was like, okay, I sort of care about Matt because Pidge cares so much about Matt and is clearly very important to her. I also have a very close relationship with my own brother, so on that level, I understood it. But then him actually, like, once you actually met him and found out who he was, I really adore him.
Which is her family. Their victory cry is Tesla.
That's right.
And that's finally getting some character development from Matt is something that really did sell the fake out part, you know, most of the way through the episode. Because I watch a lot of shows where they just don't care about your feelings, or they specifically about breaking your heart. Where they will wait until just before a character dies to give them all their character development, so it hits at, like, this emotional high point. And so giving Matt all this character development,
you felt
you're
it
like,
coming.
You're like, oh no.
But also, is like, it also basically is like setting you up to be like, oh, this person's gonna die because they're finally getting some moments to shine.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're coming to yeah, exactly. So
it's like, oh my God,
every show does that.
Keep him.
But I also
worried about that.
I also love too that they make a point of saying in the episode that, like, he's in the garrison on his brain power alone, that he's not as physically capable as everybody else. So when you actually see him fighting later in the episode, you're like, yeah, space will do that.
He's learned a couple things in space. Yeah. Well,
and he fights like death. And he fights like someone who's not a big guy.
Yeah.
It's a speed, not strength style. And I love it.
Especially
since so much thought into all
That's
of this.
Awesome. Yeah. So glad you guys took notice.
Wow. Yeah. So great.
This is
I did want him to have, like, ripped off sleeves and big muscles, but I was like, ah, I guess they're in space and maybe you don't want your arms to freeze off.
Yeah.
He's got the scar.
Yeah.
He's got the scar.
That immediately makes you cool.
I mean, he's got a lot of
If only he
on.
Had
probably,
a robot arm.
Yeah, he's probably super ripped underneath all the clothes.
Oh, don't get me started on that. As a Full Metal Alchemist fan, I'm like, yes. I want it.
Everyone has a robot arm.
There you go.
He's got a robot leg, too.
Yeah, hey, you know what? Just give me the fandom. It's
He's
fine.
A robot. We have a clone and a robot.
Oh, no.
You can't break me anymore. We're going to do it this way.
Actually, I think I can.
No,
going off
do
of the...
Don't I've... roll those dice, Alexa.
I always try to give you the benefit of the doubt.
It's a time-honored Voltron tradition, my dear.
All right.
Going off of the whole... He came and recorded a lot. Are we sure he's not dying? Oh, yeah, no, he absolutely died. Pidge had a mental break, and she's imagining him for the rest of the
day. Oh,
that's you know just, what?
A lot of flashbacks.
Just
me.
I'm just done.
That was just straight of me.
You were waiting on that.
I was going to let it go, and then you challenged me.
That's true.
I owe someone an apology.
No, I don't. Sorry, Jeremy.
I'm so confused.
It's a tradition.
Your face right there was amazing.
It's a tradition on Voltron.
Yeah. I say something that makes her cry, scream, or take her headphones off in sheer frustration.
Yeah. It's been a tradition for all of our anime shows.
Because I'm a terrible human.
But also, it's. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, okay, wait, if we get to keep him, is he actually okay? Like, let's just be honest.
That's the other worry, if you get to keep him.
I was like, but I'm just
This
happy.
Is why we can't have nice things.
I'm just saying, animation has ruined my loves, okay? That's just how it works.
This has been me since middle school. I'm like, I really like that character, and then they die horribly.
Or
like,
they're evil, and
I
I'm like,
I need to stop liking people.
Hi. That's what you get for wanting
things.
Yes!
You learned a lesson about wanting things. is there anything from this episode that was behind the scenes or on the cutting room floor that didn't quite make it that you'd like people to know about?
I think Steve Vaughn's birthday made it into the
That's right.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he put his little birthday in there.
That's right.
So I can't remember. Was it like April 22nd?
As the wrong birthday for Matt?
Yeah. In the helmet. Yeah.
That's
the
awesome.
Coordinates. So
it's so cool.
There's that. I can't remember anything else.
Just a lot of crying.
It was a lot.
Yeah, a ton of crying.
So, yeah.
Yes, a lot
lots of
tears.
Yeah.
A lot of
I mean, it's not every day. It's a small detail, but seeing, you know, the water run down the mask, like you don't see that all. It's those little details that I think make those, you know.
Totally.
And
beautiful. Yeah. Chong Il, the board artist who did the ending, literally boarded the wind. Like, just, he had, like, Pidge's hair was animating, her dress was blowing, like,
was
just
animated.
All in the storyboard. I'm like, you are an insane man, which he is. But he's, like, Joaquin says, a beautiful mind.
Yeah. He's a beautiful mind. He's got equations going all the time.
It's like, to me, that felt like, you know, in every Miyazaki film, that everybody somehow has the ability to act with their hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stands on it.
Which I am really trying to achieve.
You can just take mine. Mine does it on its own.
It's really hard in real life. It takes a lot of work.
All right, so we should probably move back to the first episode because we touched on a few things and then went straight for crying in a heap on the floor.
I mean, that was pretty much how that worked out.
It's kind of our end destination for a lot of Ultron episodes.
Yes.
Just like, ugh.
You gotta get right to the emotional heart.
I mean, the first episode was great. I mean, you needed that setup of, you know, Keith being able to kind of separate and go off and deal with his own life so that Pidge could kind of go do the same with her own in this situation.
Mm-hmm. And as much as he cares about Shiro, having Shiro back in any capacity just hamstrung his leading confidence.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And I don't think that storyline is done.
Absolutely. No. There's still a good 50-50 bet going on whether Shiro makes it to the end of the series.
Wow.
Well,
let me say he's going to have a lot of character development.
Right. Okay, but over
a
all in one episode.
Time out, because I saw...
Oh my god, you guys are going to make me cry on the show.
I was browsing the internet, as you do.
And,
somebody, I can't remember if it was on Instagram or Twitter or where, had like zoomed in on the background of a flashback with Matt and Pidge. And who was in the background, but it certainly appeared to be Keith and Shiro.
What?
Yep.
Well, show me the evidence.
It's the Kerberos mission. That's where they were taking pictures.
Yep. That's right.
Pidge family, final picture before they're off on their mission.
Yep.
And who else was going on that mission? Shiro was going on that.
It was a good. We found that too, and we commented and said, "Well done."
I put that.
I'm just picturing. Yeah.
Oh,
Emma,
I just
like sitting in front of a monitor, going there, zoom in,
zoom in,
enhance.
And this was before Keith got punted from the garrison.
Sure.
He was still in his garrison uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
hey, backstory, guys. There's more of it.
Yeah.
It exists.
Shiro was still his guiding light. It
frame
was good.
By frame and just mines that group. Is there backstory here? Has anyone noticed this? There was a camera shutter when Shiro's eyes dilated. Oh my god!
But you know, listen. Yeah. Shiro was having a time. He was not able to connect with the Black Lion. I thought it was because he's a clone of Shiro. And
that's what
Shiro.
I thought too. Definitely thought he
wasn't still
real.
Kind of think that. But, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I feel like she's like, well, you're not like my last ex. Okay. All right. Let's do this.
All right.
I'm good.
Close
I'm
enough.
Good.
You bring up a good. You bring up a good point. I guess lives are at stake. So
yeah.
Okay.
Right. We'll be nice this once.
And let's talk a little bit about the Razzle Dazzle.
Hey, man.
God
bless Lion shows.
Official spoiler warning?
No, they had a show.
Oh,
in the first
it did.
They
yeah.
In the first episode.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. It just gets more epic later, but he does it in the first episode. He does it like twice in that episode.
He does.
Oh, yeah. That's why we started with
Razzle
that song.
Dazzle.
Razzle Dazzle.
I have it written in all in caps in my notes more than once.
I feel that, like, this was like the moment that Lance was waiting for.
Yeah.
Right? Oh! Yes. Yes. We can talk about that more when we get to the full season too.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he is all about being in the spotlight.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, he had that line in the mermaid episode where it's like, what was it? He faked a stomach ache and he got out of school because he's such a good actor.
Yeah.
Acting!
That was
actor.
The thing. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Lance, when I read that line too, I was like, perfect. Yes. What I signed up for. Yes, that's exactly what I want. It's also fun too because, like, I think in the last episode drop, like the last seven season three technically, there was a lot of like. Definitely a lot of character development for Lance in that.
In that half, and him
definitely maturing and growing and stuff too. So it is fun to like definitely have those episodes where you're still like, oh yeah, okay.
But he's still Lance.
Yeah, he's still Lance. Yeah. This is totally him still. So that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel too that, you know, and I loved all of the character development for Lance last season. It was so gratifying to see somebody who had, I mean, not that he'd been 100% comic relief before. That's the beauty of the show is nobody is that. But Lance definitely has sort of a lightheartedness about
him. Oh, that's my favorite part about playing him.
Yeah.
It's all Jeremy's fault because he's good at it.
Yeah.
If you're mad that Lance is funny, just all hate mail goes to this guy.
It's true that Lance is funny. You have really missed the point.
Yeah. It's true that, I mean, in the last season, like, he did get really nice moments of figuring out where his place was on the team and having a lot of it started the season before too, where you started to deal with this sort of self-doubt of like, where do I,
what is my thing?
Yeah. Definitely not a mathematician.
So much self-reflection. It was really, it's always nice when you get, you know, to see the different sides of all these different characters.
Yeah.
But it is tough with so many characters.
Yeah.
You know, everybody will have their time.
Yeah.
In the spotlight.
I love this whole season. It's great. Yeah. There's certain comments like, oh, like Lance deserves better. Like, where was he at this whole season? I was like, he had lots of stuff last season. He has a buttload of stuff coming up. We're chilling.
And he's razzle dazzle.
Yeah, razzle dazzle. What are you talking about?
This also,
for the war effort.
To me, I feel like, you know, Voltron in a way fits kind of nicely into like the sort of like Sailor Moon model of like, it's mostly about Usagi, but like everybody gets the own episode.
Exactly. While we're talking about this, now is probably a good time to put up that spoiler warning.
Everybody dies.
I was waiting for the official spoiler warning from the soundboard, but I don't think we're getting it.
That was it, guys. That was a spoiler alert.
We are now talking about the whole season, so let's do this. Lance had a good little bit in the last episode of this season.
Yes, thank you.
I'm so glad we're talking about this.
His little pep talk with Alora. He definitely has those tender moments, and especially, I think Lance is also really good at like he knows like when someone needs to step up and take that, and there's not someone else like there to do that. He ends up being a really good team player.
It is interesting for somebody who, for a character like Lance, who, you know, previously discussed, he's very comfortable being in the spotlight.
Yes.
He likes being the center of attention.
So for
him to be able to kind of step back and be like, no, you can do this. I believe in you. Like that's a good quality.
Yeah. And at this point, like you guys were saying earlier, like they've definitely grown as a team. They're like a family now. So it's that, also that respect and that care and that love for each person on the team. And so, yeah, so he is confident being like, I want you, I know you can do this. Like nobody else can right now. It's all you. Yeah. Get it, as opposed to being like, oh wait, I think I can do something. He doesn't need to do that.
And Lance started in the blue line, which is a support line that holds Voltron up. Yeah. And he's since graduated to the right hand, which is like the ultimate support to the head.
And he's,
I think it's kind of an indication of like what's beneath that surface, that guy who loves to be in the spotlight, but really he's really good at knowing everyone else's strengths and being that team player.
Looking deeper though, he comes from a big family.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I think within his family dynamic, he's very much maybe that guy. I think to people outside, he wants to be front and center.
He wants to show some uniquity and be like, there is a big family.
That's
stuff,
right.
So it's like, kind of wants to be a little bit more front and center.
And that's why, sorry.
Oh, no, and I was going to say, and again, and that runs so parallel with the storyline of him being like, I don't really know where I fit in on this team. I don't know what my thing is.
Leave the math to Pidge. I love that, like, there's usually a point, like, that everybody goes, what is my role on this team?
Yeah.
And, you know, Lance had it early on when and he added everything up. Keith definitely had it. Keith definitely had it. I mean, when he's like,
he's still struggling with it.
Yeah. Allura had it when the red lion didn't respond.
For sure.
Yeah.
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 Imagine how heartbreaking that
was. That was a heartbreaking moment.
Karan had it too when he really wanted
that's
it.
That's right.
Hang out in the commoner shades. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's one of my favorite moments from the show, just period. It's so funny. And then it gets up and he's like, and then it just flies away. He's like, oh, going for a lip?
It's like, so the thing just blew away. I don't know what to tell you.
All right. Of course. Guys. Those red lions just ran away.
That's right.
So,
the long established tradition of lions going to pick up wayward powers. Like, yeah. Like, fine. Oh my God. Why are you in the void of space again?
I'll do this.
That would hurt so badly. It's not like the lion doesn't respond to you. Mm-hmm. It responds to you by moving away from
you. By ignoring you.
Yeah. I can either go babysit my paladin or I can let this guy drive me. I'm gonna go find
me. Nah.
I did love, though, as we started to touch on, but now we can, that first moment of Matt showing up and meeting Allura.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite moment. Totally going to, like, full anime.
Oh, yeah.
Anime.
So and like, level. Lands behind her as he's pretty nice. And his, like, death stare, like, knocks Matt back.
With
so
the horror
funny.
Movie violin.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's awesome is that hearing that in Japanese is incredible.
Oh,
yeah. It's been fully translated.
Fully dubbed,
it's like reverse engineered
anime.
I'm
literally going to change my language to Japanese.
Yeah, yeah. It's really cool.
It's pretty crazy.
Oh my God, that Korean episode must be crazy.
Yeah.
In Japanese, sorry. I'm thinking about it in my head.
I feel like that, and we'll talk about that a little more next week, but I feel like that resonated a lot with Japanese audiences because Sentai shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm impressed that Lance can milk a cow. Not
really?
Lie.
Right. I thought it made sense.
Skill.
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
Right?
Yeah, I thought it made sense.
It's, oh my gosh, doing the ADR for that scene, seeing it animated is so funny. Oh my gosh. And there's their faces of pure horror.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect when that episode came up. I was like, okay, he's gonna. Okay. That was awkward. All right.
You're a beautiful.
Think about how weird that must be to aliens looking
really
down.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Work in harmony with these other animals and drink the other animals' milk.
It's like Slurm from Futurama.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just like that.
That has to be.
It tastes delicious until you know where it comes from.
Right. Yeah. It's like so thick. It's like it's already a milk.
Oh man, the worst. The worst.
No man, that's when you shake it and get butter.
Yeah.
A little part of me, and I saw the clip of this before the season actually aired.
Oh yeah.
I think there was a tiny part of me that wasn't entirely sure that Kaltenegger was an actual cow.
Yeah, too.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
Kaltenegger is a cow.
And it's a sheep.
From Earth, from the Earth store in the mall.
Most cows are.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know how she got there. That's what I want to know.
They rode her from the mall.
How did she get to where?
To the space mall.
To
like,
the mall.
Yeah, so
the gray alien, when he's
abducted.
Doing his alien abduction.
Okay, that's right.
The farmer didn't make it. The cow made it.
Yeah, he just went out. He abducted the cow.
Yeah. Okay,
took a few video game systems.
Yeah.
A DeLorean.
We sold the farmer to the Galra. And...
I loved seeing how they had to like jury rig the video game.
That was one of our favorites.
That's the best.
And, you know, just riffing on that whole like. Page obsessing about her video game system and then like, where do I plug this in?
Yeah, where do I get these RCA cables?
Meanwhile, you know, flash forward a few months, she's found everything she needed to find.
Oh, yeah,
then, of course, in typical Lance fashion, he jacked her headphones and now he's jacked her video game system. That's just what he does.
He's doing his thing.
And I have to do, like, I play old systems, and if you want to do them high res, you got to run them through, like, SCART cables.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That was high tech.
It was very realistic.
Yeah, it definitely brought me like, Twitch memory.
and the video game itself. I mean,
Final Fantasy.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, straight up.
Yeah.
I was like, oh
the
boy.
The pixel art in that and the attention to detail was just so spot on.
I was trying to follow the commands and everything. I was like, what is he picking?
Yeah.
And even just the. Can they get your help? Not right now.
Not right now.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, and. the guy, Michael or Mikkel, I don't think we ever figured out how to pronounce it.
I'm going
from
Michael.
Brussels.
From Brussels.
We had, it took us 20 minutes every time we had to, like, connect with a call to this guy.
Because
we'd be
how
sitting
to call
there,
out.
Like, trying to call out from the studio, pressing the long distance, and then it kept, like, failing. Took us, like 20 minutes the first time. Second time, like, we got this. We know what to do. 20 minutes again. Yeah. Third time, Nora, our very much more intelligent than us old fogies, production manager, she figured it out. Okay. She had it down. But
we would
that
get
guy,
on the phone with him in a huff, like in a rage, like, are you there? And he'd be like, I'm here. So polite.
And
that,
I have no idea what time it was for him.
Yeah, it was probably, you know,
4 a.m. or something. He's a super nice guy. And you're super sweet and literally did all of that stuff himself. He had, a kind of storyboard to follow, and we'd give him some direction, like, we want this monster to look cooler, and then, like,
and we'd give him
the
like
big final
PS1,
move,
you know, era graphics,
and like the final inferno or whatever it's called when it like rotates around, he did that on his own, completely on his own. We're like, we need like a better cool final move, can you think of something? He's like, no worries, I'll just do it, and he just does it. And he's amazing.
Super,
like,
super awesome.
And the nicest guy ever.
I was definitely having hardcore flashbacks to the first time I ever died miserably in a boss fight.
And the crestfallen sort of like, oh.
The first time you take on a Tonberry.
Oh,
oh my goodness. Yeah, damn little knife. Just bam, bam, bam. Yeah. Little jerk.
I got stuck on that ship. I had nowhere else to level up. And I was too low level for the boss fight. I remember that.
Golden Sun had permadeath, didn't it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's Fire Emblem.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And Final
I was
Fantasy Tactics. Yep. Lots of tactical RPGs. They're just like, if you did, you did.
Yeah. No, Golden Sun had an eye and a rock and a plot that made no sense.
Yeah, we referenced, I think, Phantasy Star pretty
heavily.
Yeah, so many,
And
that makes sense.
Suikoden.
Suikoden.
Oh, we're talking earlier about the the fake made up like science-y words and stuff.
Yeah.
So now that we can actually talk about the Quran episode.
Oh, okay.
So the whole meta bit where he's talking about like it doesn't matter, like none of the words are real anyway. It's like the real words would be just as confusing.
That's
right. I was laughing so hard at that part.
Actually,
that's us literally every single record. Like, none of this makes sense. None of these words are real.
Just say something. Yeah.
I feel like that was our Ember Island Players episode.
It really was.
It was.
That was kind of what, when we went into it, we were like, you know, this is going to be our little this episode where we kind of do ridiculous versions, overblown versions of their personality.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Was maybe my favorite episode.
That's awesome.
And it's funny, though, because I think there's still a bit of a disconnect, you know. That was really an episode for us internally to sort of just kind of come to terms with a lot of stuff. And a lot of people were saying, like, oh, they're speaking directly to us about this. It's like, we were thinking this a very long time ago.
Yeah. Like, this episode.
You're the most.
That's right.
I mean, okay.
It was, it was written and it was in production long before.
And Lance just being incensed that Shiro was the most popular.
Incredible.
So good. His expression.
When that happened, I thought the same thing. I was like, what about Lance?
It's such a meta episode. It's so funny.
I love that it's basically a spiritual successor to the space mall.
I can go back to the mall.
Exactly.
Varcon with the little action figures.
We'll cover that a little more next week.
Sure.
We're really going to get into it. But just looking at the overall season, look at everything you've accomplished in just these 6 episodes. Is there anything else you wanted to put in there that didn't quite make it?
I mean, you know, we originally sort of had many different versions of this story, and some where, you know, certain characters stayed away for a longer amount of time, which allowed, and so you kind of have to shuffle things around. I don't know if we lost anything. We just sort of had to shuffle things around a bit more than losing anything.
I would have loved to have, I think, gotten to know the rebels a bit more
and
given them like a better introduction. But sometimes you just like you gotta fit that stuff in and the amount of time you got.
I think Tiosh was one that we were like, it would have been nice to see her do some stuff before she like
kicked it.
She was in that ship over there, and you know, it's like,
yeah,
but you do what you gotta do.
Yeah, you gotta make it happen.
And the Rebel Commander Olia?
Oh, she's my favorite.
I don't remember meeting her before those episodes.
I know.
That's the thing.
Yeah. That's one thing. I would have loved to have been able to introduce her in a better way. But you know, she kind of shows up for the plan, and then she's there, and she does cool stuff. But yeah, it's like, gosh, it would have been nice to get to know some of these characters a little bit. Yeah.
She was just not to bring in a Star Wars reference, but she was like goal leader. It was like, totally, you knew that guy was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, he gave himself, you know,
I was also going to sort of make a Star Wars reference that, you know, that's very much what this season was. It was kind of like building the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
You know, which interestingly enough is very much where they're at in Star Wars Rebels as well. So there's this nice parallel with my two space shows. But
it's like a new TV show, My Two Space Shows.
My Two Space Shows. Hey.
You're welcome.
My Two Space Dance.
But I think the one thing that we didn't hit on here, and that now that we're into full spoiler territory, dear God, Lotor.
That guy.
Sudden but inevitable betrayal.
Yeah.
The part where he dislocated his shoulder. Oh. I think we all.
Oh. That was Lauren.
Oh. Hey. Sometimes you gotta get stuff done, man.
Blame
Lauren. No, I bowed down, but also, I fully shuddered. And, like, my whole spine went. I was like, oh, that was so gross. But it was beautiful at the same time. So.
Did we get ourselves into a corner with that one? Was it like how's he gonna get out of
there? Well, yeah, it was like. What? How is he doing this? He's got they cuffed him.
Yeah.
He's not. They're not just letting him sit there.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, he's got to get away. He's not gonna like steer with his mouth.
I like.
Like how the hell do we get his damn handcuffs off? it was just a whole thing. And for a second there, I was like, he picks the lock. I was like, these are space cuffs. There's no lock.
There's no lock.
You don't pick a lock. You don't even have a bobby pin.
No, you need like a key card.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine?
He's like all like going through the codes.
Lauren did the boards for that, and even at the boards, we were like, ugh, without the sounds, without any of that.
I'm a horror movie fan. It takes a lot to get under my skin, and I verbally cried out.
I had about 3 points in the season where I just went.
I'm used to people going like behind and then over, especially as martial artists. That's like how you kind of get out of it. But he went over, and I was like, ah.
No, Lotor, you can go the other way.
Go back.
No.
Okay, that's what we did.
Switch betraying people, being betrayed by people, and then kind of sidling up to
killing.
And then he's become our Starscream. He's a lot smarter than Starscream.
I disagree.
I'm thinking like prime Starscream.
Still disagree.
I just said he's smarter than Starscream ever was. I said this once on a different show, and I'll say it again. Nobody's dumb enough to trust Starscream. This is the guy who will betray you as soon as it's convenient for him, for reasons that benefit him and him alone. Maybe some other people if it's great, but mostly him. So he's coming to them saying, hey, let's talk. We're like,
that was definitely not how I thought it was going to end.
Lotor's got layers.
Genuinely intelligent, and I think we'll eventually learn things about him that, like,
well, I mean,
maybe
like
he's
when
not
he was
super
born,
backstabby.
But we did confirm. I assumed that was the case, but he did actually say at one point
his
in this season, "My mother, Honerva." So,
unless they lied to him,
how long has he been around?
But we also don't know how age works in Galra. So,
how does time work? Your
face? I don't know what you want from me in that one.
Voltron,
like, we're not getting any answers anytime soon. And we've already thrown spaghetti at the wall for literally every combination.
We already talked about the science, like, not making sense. This is not going to work out.
He's also grown up in, like, the most, like, evil, betray, backstabby culture of all time.
That's true. Yeah.
So I think some of that's a product of his upbringing.
Yeah. Yeah. All that considered, he turned out okay.
Yeah.
To be completely
for the most part.
I mean, he did brutally murder one of his generals.
Yeah.
She was a liability.
Yeah.
Hey.
I mean, her cat was spying on him, probably. Yeah.
So did they just leave the cat on the base?
They did. Yeah, they left that cat.
Bye bye, kitty cat.
Stop spying on me, Mom.
Oh my God, Mom! I closed my door for a reason.
Exactly. I just want my privacy.
Well, where would you like Lance to go? from here?
And I know there's to the space mall.
Let's go to the mall today.
Yeah, so Lance actually leaves the team next season. He becomes a star in this like reality TV show.
He gets a lot of character development. Yeah. Wink, wink.
That sounds great. Yeah. Star Search, do it.
Yeah, it's always hard because I'm like, I know kind of where things about, so be careful.
He decides to take the show on the road and replace all the other paladins with different talent.
Yeah.
They're all Bebos.
Keith becomes like, you know, space ninja. Lance becomes like the space
007.
That sounds
amazing.
Yeah.
That's
amazing.
I want it. That's cool though.
Sign me up.
I can join Cirque du Soleil with all the...
That's
true. I mean, he's good at that stuff.
Yeah, he's very good at
Lover Boy Lance.
Clearly a theater guy.
Oh, I love that. Did he ever take a silk class? Because I swear, he must have taken a silk class.
That is some silk class noise.
Yeah.
He's got some skills. He's got some hidden talents for sure.
Yeah, milking cows. So.
Yeah.
He's a good all-around guy.
Yeah.
I think
that's why he's my favorite.
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's a lot of moments. There's a couple little moments in this season and the one before. Those more like kind of serious moments, like when he's like kind of talking to Laura and stuff. And I think like a lot of that stuff kind of propels more going forward. And yeah, he definitely. I think he just builds on a lot of that.
Yeah.
He kind of. I mean, his role is pretty defined at this point, and it really just kind of expands off of that.
Yeah.
Going forward, and he becomes a voice of reason soon.
Yeah.
Without spoiling stuff. Of everybody that's been sort of... Because, I mean, obviously there was a big shakeup last season of people switching lions and whatnot. Mm. I feel like Lance was the one who adjusted
the best.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's safe to say.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Yeah, like surprisingly in that situation, he actually handles it well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's some... Yeah, there's some awesome moments that we've recorded for stuff. In the future, that I'm super excited about when they actually come out.
We're excited.
That are really cool. He's got some cool moments.
Yeah,
yay! Can't wait.
We're kind of getting the sign to move along. So, any thoughts on these two episodes? Any final thoughts on these two episodes?
I mean, why did you do that to me?
On the floor, sobbing.
Never watching Voltron on NyQuil ever again. I was on cold medicine. I was sick. It was the worst.
Just crying out.
Just ugly crying.
It
was bad. My husband was like, "What happened?" I'm like, "Voltron."
We had someone on Twitter go, "You know, a kids show."
Yeah. You know, for kids.
That we can go, you know, sort of.
I mean, yeah, it's amazing.
That's why
we
love the show.
No, I mean, kids can absolutely handle
for
stuff
sure.
Like this. Totally. They're not. Dumb.
That's why Don Bluth got away with like
Hunchback of Quasimodo was like one of the darkest Disney.
This is sequel
broken. Leave me alone.
This show just keeps getting better and better, and with every question that gets answered, like 10 more pop up. So I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
It's always a fun time.
Are there any projects that you guys are working on that you can tell us about?
The show? We're working on a show.
That rhymes.
It's called Voltron.
Cool.
Might have heard
it. Rhymes with Tron.
Yeah.
Like the movie.
Oh, so it's Tron.
this show.
He's working on other shows.
Yeah. There's a show called Mr. Student Body President that I'm the lead in. It's on Verizon's Go 90 platform. Our first season's, you can stream the whole first season now. I think our second season starts airing on November 30th.
Cool.
All right.
So working on that. And my band just finished recording our first full-length album. So
Yeah,
we're going to be hopefully putting out an actual, like, specific like release date very soon.
Nice.
But I think February, March is probably when we'll be releasing, so that's super cool. Band's name is Make Out Monday.
All
right. And then other stuff too, but yeah, and then obviously lots more Voltron, and
And Lance joins a band.
Yes! We do need a musical episode.
We need the musical episode.
Like, can we get an official request? Can
a lot
we
of
get
us
a
on
musical
the cast
episode?
Sing.
Yeah, we take an official request.
I know.
We can't make it happen.
Yeah. We dimension hop to a universe where everyone communicates through song.
Yeah. There you go. Perfect.
Like full on music like meister shenanigans.
I love it.
In terms
he's
of,
also working on a show.
Yeah, I'm working on a show
Voltron.
Called. Yeah. we're pretty much just knee deep in the.
Yeah.
Sweet.
All right. Sweet.
Well, keep up the amazing work.
Yeah. Oh, it's been such a blast. Where can the people go if they want to keep up with you?
Twitter, the Instagram, same place, I said.
Yeah.
You Same. Know, it's all that stuff. Yeah. If you just Google me, something will come up. I don't know.
That, yep, that, yep. That's, yeah. You're not wrong.
On the lower third somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
Yeah, Twitter, Instagram.
Instagram. I think one's JDS_247. The other one's JDS_77.
All right.
First time I will ever know that.
And probably the last. Yeah.
There's a lower third. We're good.
Yeah. We're good. It's there. We're good for you for, you know, remembering.
Thank you guys so much. It's been such a blast.
Thank you guys. Thank you.
All right, Emma, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at my name, Emma Fife, EmmaFyffe. I do lots of things, but follow me on Twitter because I tweet about all the things I'm doing. I'm going to be talking about Voltron, more in-depth history of all the anime stuff and this show tomorrow night, 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time on the anime talk show I do at Hyper RPG. So that's twitch.tv/HyperRPG. It's called Hyper Otaku. It's real fun.
Hey guys, I'm Alexis Torres. You guys can find me all over social media at atorres890. I'm also trying to get a few of my things onto my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/ps890. Definitely check us out there.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. And as the live chat was kind enough to point out, do not Google me because there is a different Megan Salinas out there.
Don't do it. With a different career.
Bunch of stuff here on AfterBuzz. Just follow me on those sites. You'll see
and
what
I'm Katie
to.
Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias and on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. I talk about all the shows I'm on there and they're all coming back. So now there's like 5. Yeah. We're doing stuff. It's great. You should follow us all while we're doing things. Thank you guys so much for watching us, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Razzle dazzle!
Oh my god, you did the
views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.